This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
And welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual plus community. Happy International Women's Day, and to celebrate that, one of my favorite people in the world, Nutty Nuchis. Hi, honey.
Hello.
All right. Nutty is a friend of mine I met on the internet through the podcasting community. She is a blogger, podcaster at Spec Fic Media, right?
Yes, SpecFicMedia.com, yep, and Nimlas.org.
Right, nimlas.org, artist, blogger, editor, and wrangler. I'm reading it right off your Facebook.
I could tell that as soon as you said the SpecFic Media.
And a personal saver of my podcasting bacon. Oh, we've known each other, what, 3 years? 4 years?
At least, yeah. We've been in the same circles for quite a while, and we really started talking a couple of years ago, though. Which is fantastic.
It is. I can't remember if we met in Hellmouth, but it was somewhere around those circles.
It was probably Potential Cast.
Potential Cast. I bet it was Potential Cast. It was. And when Bob DeGrand, one of our much-loved podcasters, passed away last year, mm-hmm. Nutty was so helpful in helping me and Elizabeth and Janice carry on with our Clone Dance Party podcast. Getting that set up so we could continue on without Bob. Always with Bob, though, in our hearts.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Like, he's always there.
Always. Everywhere. He was the one that helped me get set up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the main ones helped me get the Bicast set up. So he was really influential. He's been really influential in my life, that's for sure.
Bob was a great person because he was so encouraging of all the people he interacted with. And you were one of those people, you know. He encouraged you to start podcasting. He encouraged you to podcast about what you care about. And I remember you telling me that when you said, well, I don't know if I should talk about my other podcasts on this podcast because it's kind of a sensitive subject. And he said, what's sensitive? I don't get it.
Yeah.
No, talk about it. This needs to be talked, you know, bisexuality needs to be talked about. There should be no sensitivity about it. You know, it's not a bad word. Just do it. And that was Bob. And I try to use Bob a little bit as a role model. What I've done with you and I've done with a couple other podcasts, I guess you would call it podcast mentoring. I really feel that that's something that I can give to people that are starting out, and it's something that Bob would want me to do.
Oh, yeah. A good point. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is encouraging people to start podcasts, because it is a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
None of us ever go into it thinking we're going to make any money, and if we do, then we're just it's an illusion that we're telling ourselves.
Yeah, when it comes to you hear about this all the time. If you join podcast community groups on Facebook or Google Plus or wherever, you'll always hear people talking about monetizing your podcast. And really, the only surefire way to make money off of a podcast is if you already start with a fan base. If you're Kevin Smith, if you're Chris Hardwick, if you're someone that people already know, you know, if you're on NPR or whatever and people already know you, then you've already got a fan base and you can actually, you know, get advertisement and figure out ways to monetize your podcast. But the majority and the most important podcasts out there are not generating money. And if they are, often it's like a drop in the bucket. They do it because they love it. And if you're podcasting because you want to make money, don't podcast. Just get out of podcasting. You need to do this if you would do this anyway. Money or not, you would just do this. It's all about love. And if you love what you're doing, it comes across on the microphone and people can hear it and it matters.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's so wide open. I mean, the competitive factor is like non-existent in podcasting, because there's always a podcast for something.
Absolutely. You know?
And we're so supportive of each other. And I think that's why we're so different in the community rather than in other media, because there is almost no competitive factor going on. I mean, we're all very supportive of each other.
Exactly. I think the only people that are very competitive when it comes to, and that's an attitude, it's not an actuality. The only people that I've ever seen that are very competitive in the podcasting world are people that are trying to make money and doing it for the wrong reasons. I can tell you countless examples of podcasts that I know. They start a podcast. There have been times that, oh, shoot, we have the same name as somebody else. Or, oh, shoot, we have almost the exact same concept. And they reach out to those folks, and they start a dialogue, and they end up becoming friends.
Yes.
the Red Dwarf podcast was originally called Ganymede and Titan, not realizing there was a podcast for the fan club for Red Dwarf, and then they apologized, and then they became great friends, and the Ganymede and Titan people came on the Red Dwarf podcast, and the Red Dwarf people went over there. Same thing happens with the Defenders. Same thing happened with one of my shows, Beyond the Wall. It happens all the time, and it's fantastic.
I know. You know, in the Buffy fandom, that happens all the time.
Oh,
You know, they all went to different places, and, you know, and the Buffy people came on the Dexter cast and, you know, Potential cast, and, you know, there's great dialogue between everybody from Potential cast with everyone, and it was, you know, because the shows are different, mm-hmm. You know, the people make it different, and the format's a little different, you know, so and that's what people listen for, you know.
Yeah, I remember when Heroes was on originally, I was listening to two different Heroes podcasts. They were covering the same thing. They were covering a weekly episode, but I wanted both of them anyway because I had time to listen to them because I wanted to hear people who loved the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and we're going through the same experience as you were with the show, so it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think people really understand that when, you know, we have each other on the show or promote it. And you know, and I've had people ask me, well, how much money do you make off of advertising for people? I said, we don't make any money off of that. You don't do it for that reason, you know?
Yeah, again, it's all about the love. Cross-promotion is another way of sharing love. Some podcasts will have promotion, you know, promos on their podcast for other shows. Some don't. I think a lot of the ones that don't generally don't because they're running out of time and their shows are too long anyway. That mm-hmm. happens a lot.
Yeah.
yes, totally guilty at times. But being able to share promos for other podcasts is a way that we can share this experience because we know we're not the only thing on your MP3 player. And if we can encourage you to listen to other shows, we can encourage you to be more of a podcast listener. And if we can get you listening to our friends' shows, that's even better.
That's right, because there's a lot of us that are friends. So, and, you know, we don't have an advertising budget. So
yeah.
This is the way we help each other advertise, so it's great.
Yeah, you advertise for someone else, they advertise for you. And it just goes on, and nobody really keeps track of numbers. Oh, well, they advertised for me once, so I'll only advertise for them once. No. We just do it. We do it when we get a chance. I know for myself, I have a folder on my computer full of promos that I keep current. I update it every year to keep the most fresh promos out there. And each time I do an episode, I go through and I label them whether I've used them recently or not. And I go through and I'm like, oh, haven't used that one in a while. And I throw it in there. And it has nothing to do with me getting anything back from these people. It has to do with me wanting to share the awesomeness that is out there.
Exactly. I have been very lax in doing promos, but a lot of times because I have such long shows. But I've shortened them down, and I have to be really focused on doing my promos because, you know, I have a little folder of marked promos, too, but I only have four or five of them in there, and I haven't updated them for a while. So Mick is going to update his for me. So, and I think the one I have for you is really old.
am I chewing in it, or am I arguing in it?
You're arguing.
Okay, that's the latest one. We need to record a new one. I just have to get the script down right. It's It's been on my mind.
I know the feeling. There's a lot of stuff that's on my mind that never comes to fruition lately because I'm always doing something. So you have a real life. I mean, I don't know either. Yeah, so you work and you have a family, or you are married.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And you do some cosplay sometimes.
Yes, I do. I'm a bit into cosplay. I like creating something new for each of my costumes. I'm not so much into matching exactly what a character looks like because, well, if I wanted to look at a character, I'd look at the character. I like doing something fun and different. And the other thing is with my body, because I am not a Hollywood type, I will never look like any of these characters, except maybe one that I have planned in the future. But I like to have fun with it. So, you know, when I was Wonder Woman, I wasn't just Wonder Woman. I was a steampunk Wonder Woman.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's so awesome.
And I made this, like, bustle skirt with it was blue skirt with all the stars all over it. It was old curtains. I was totally doing a Gone with the Wind thing. I took these old curtains that were faded on the inside that were, you know, dark blue, and I turned them into this bustle skirt, and I painted all of the stars on it and everything, and it just came out so wonderful.
That's fantastic. I have visions of Carol Burnett running through my head.
with the curtain rod still through her. That's a classic skit.
It is. It's fantastic. We almost got to meet in Washington, D.C. this last year, but we will still get to meet face-to-face. But we are good friends, and if anybody ever tells you that the Internet is not the place to have real friends or they aren't your real friends, wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've had some friendships. Well, I have a very long history of friendships with people online. I've been making friends with people online since 1995. And my husband's actually the first one of them that I met in person. But these friendships to me have been so important and so valuable. My best friend I met online, there have been people that have touched me so deeply. And it's not to say that they're more important than people I see every day, but these friendships have a way of you connect more sometimes with people online, at least for me. I would see people online more often than I would see people in person, so you develop these things. And so often the barriers of the physical world are gone when you're talking to someone online because you're just talking, you're just conversing, and all of the other things of, like, driving somewhere and the outside stimulus, those things are gone, and it's just ideas, and it's just you.
Yeah. We go through so much together. I mean, we've gone through births and deaths. And
oh, absolutely, you know. Yeah. Specifically, actually, you and I have been through births and deaths together.
Yes, we have.
And there'll be another birth coming up soon.
I know, we're so excited that Elizabeth, as she said, this one took.
Yes, this one took. Well, and that goes for a whole other thing. And we can mention this because our friend Liz is very open about this. But she went through a miscarriage last year. And I think by being able to share that with her friends online and to be able to lean on the support of her friends that she met online, she was able to get through it. It's not easy. It's never easy. I mean, it's still sticking with her, but she had a support system. You know, the Bicast, you guys are always talking about building your support system, and that is one of those things. If you can make friends online, you have a support system. I have a friend in the UK that something bad happens, he'll send me a message, and I'll just talk to him and get him through it, you know. And it doesn't take much, you know. It's just a, hey, Nutty, what's up? Not much. What's going on? You okay? Oh, my mom's in the hospital. You know, just a little chatting. It doesn't take much out of your day, but it means so much.
Just being able to connect with them. Speaking of this person in the UK.
Yes.
I hear they're going to be in town soon.
Yes, he is. He's going to, in 3 weeks, he's going to come visit.
And that's our Shay Poole, who does the what is the name of it? I'm sorry.
He does the Red Dwarf podcast. He does In the Village, the Prisoner podcast. Mm-hmm. He does, oh gosh, I can't remember them all now. There's some wrestling thing he does.
Yeah, wrestling thing.
And something about Porky's. Are you kidding me, Porky's? It's a sketch comedy show thing.
Busy guy.
Yes, he's a very busy guy.
Yeah, and that's Shane Poole, another one of our good friends.
Yes.
So, podcasting, are you for or against?
Oh, I'm totally for. As a matter of fact, I have the buttons that says I heart podcasts.
I need one of those.
I should send you one. They were a fundraiser for the Parsec Awards a couple of years ago.
Ah.
And the Parsec Awards are awards for podcasting speculative fiction.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I've been nominated a couple of times. I have never won. I don't expect to win. I don't create fiction, so I don't see myself as really being in the right category.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a great award system because it all started from audiobooks, which is audiobooks just delivered via podcast. And there have been several authors that have become well-known published authors thanks to giving away their content for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, kudos for them. Good for them. Good for them. Good for us. It's good for us.
Podcasts are great like that. There's so many different things out there. I mean, there are fan casts that are all about, you know, TV shows, books, and movies that we love. There's the fiction podcast where you can listen to short stories or novels or whatever through audio form, which is fantastic for anybody who has visual disabilities, by the way.
Ooh.
There's audio dramas. There are lifestyle and activist podcasts and so many things that just inform us as a people. It's definitely my preferred form of entertainment.
And the price is right.
Yeah, the price is right.
You can if you know what you're doing or you have Nutty around.
Yes. Well, as a listener, the price is right because the only thing that they need you to do is listen. You can pay them in feedback and iTunes reviews. But as a producer, that's right. You really don't need any money to start a podcast. You can spend money for sure. There's many different ways. But one of the things that I love to tell people, if you are creating your podcast correctly, which means you are not using copyrighted music without permission. You are releasing it under Creative Commons license. You are not putting a copyright on it, and you're not using any copyrighted material, so you're doing everything within the fair use guidelines. You can put your podcasts on archive.org, and they will stay there forever, and you do not have to pay for it. And then you just create a free blog through WordPress.com, and boom, you're podcasting.
Yep, and you can get the software for free,
yes.
Most of it.
Mm-hmm. Audacity is free.
Yep.
Your computer, you got to pay for, obviously, and you need a microphone. But even that is pretty simple. So many times people say to me, well, how much do I need to spend on a microphone? What should I get? And I tell them, you know, if you grab one of those $10 Rock Band microphones, that's fantastic. That'll work wonderfully. You don't need to have a super fancy mic. Now, granted, some of us do. I specifically am speaking through a very nice microphone that is plugged into my mixer, and I have evolved into this. I started my podcast using a Snowball, which was a pretty inexpensive but definitely a step-up microphone. But nowadays, I mean, these microphones for Rock Band or Guitar Hero or whatever, they're USB microphones. You plug them in, and you just put them in front of your mouth and go. I've used them in noisy classrooms to create podcasts for school children.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't hear the rest of the classroom. You just heard them. It's not the best sound, but it's better than a lot of the other things. Like, it's better than a headset.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And I know that when I have guests on, if they're on their phone and they just having their head, you know, their earplugs in, I get great sounds off of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The cell phones that we have now, the built-in microphones are fantastic. And the there's a couple of different mics, but the mic headset, the little earbud microphone that comes with the iPhone is actually pretty decent. I know one person who records his entire podcast on that while driving.
Wow. Oh, yeah. We've talked about him
yeah.
before.
he used to use an H2 in the car, and he had created, like, a nice little mount for it. An H2 is a portable recording device, and he had a nice little mount for it. But when he got his iPhone and it came with the headset, he tried it out, and he was like, you know what? This sounds good. I'm going to go with this.
Yeah. I don't think I can do that on mine. It's like a little 3G, so I don't think I have this. The guts for that.
Yeah.
I don't think I can even load the software on the phone for it. So you do have to have recording software. I pay for Pamela because it's just easier for me. But you can get free software to record with, too. That's totally functional.
Absolutely. There's free stuff for Mac. There's free stuff for PC. There's free stuff for Linux. Yes,
yeah.
You can podcast on a Linux machine.
I know. I heard that and I went, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you do have to learn a little bit about how to navigate websites and uploading,
mm-hmm.
and you have to figure out how to do an RSS feed and figure out how to get that feed into iTunes, which totally flabbergasted me, by the way.
Yes, although they're making it easier.
That's good. Well, you know how I finally got my RSS feed right? I went into the podcast community site, I think
mm-hmm.
it was, and the guys that actually made the RSS feed were in there, and they did it for me.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I was like, thank you guys. Thank you.
Yes, there is a Facebook group called Podcast Community, which is a valuable resource. And one of the things that I love about it is you've got the people who run Libsyn are in there, the people that run Blueberry that are in there. There's all these different people that are in the business, but these are businesses that are there because they love podcasting. Now, Libsyn is what they do is if you want to pay money, you can use Libsyn, and they're fantastic. You can host your audio files there. They'll create the web page and the RSS feed for you and give you stats. So you've got that. Blueberry is what I use to keep track of my stats and to make my RSS feed. It's a plugin that I use for my WordPress site, but they've started doing hosting as well. There's so many different companies out there that will help you. One thing I need to tell anyone that's interested in podcasting, do not use Podbean. I don't care that they tell you they're free. Don't use Podbean. If you get popular by any means, they will start charging you, and you are locked into their feed, and leaving them is very difficult. There are better ways. You don't need to use Podbean. It may seem easy, but there's a lot of ways that they actually try to take people away from any sites you want them to go to and bring them back to their site because they're just trying to make money.
Yeah. Okay, so I will never, ever use them.
Thank you.
Ever. And there's you can do that without doing that. RSS is Rich Site Summary, which it used to be really simple syndication.
Yes, really simple syndication.
it's like the vehicle that gets us everywhere.
Yep.
You know, that's how people connect to their podcast on their phone, on the website, everywhere.
It's like a map for whatever program or device you're using to collect your podcast. The RSS feed is a map, and it tells that device or that program where the podcasts are, what the podcasts are, and when they've been updated so that it can automatically download for you.
Yeah, and that's not what iTunes functions off of. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they take up the RSS feed. So even if you don't have iTunes, it's totally functional. It's out there, and you can use it for everything. So it's not like iTunes is the be-all, end-all of everything. So
absolutely, and there's more than just iTunes to submit your podcast to. You want to make sure that you're hitting everyone. Google Play is in the works of creating something, so I've already submitted with them. But they haven't released their podcasting feature just yet. But I'm with Stitcher. I'm with TuneIn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the Zune library. The only one I couldn't seem to get my podcast into was the BlackBerry listing, simply because I need to have a BlackBerry to do that. And I don't know. I've tried several times and I've tried emailing and it just doesn't work. The thing that makes me laugh though is for the Zune library, which is the Microsoft podcast library, basically to get listed in there, you send an email to one guy. His name's Rob.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Email Rob. Yeah. I am not in that one. I'm going to have to go email him. Yeah, we're in Stitcher, and we're on the just the regular, when you open it, the RSS thing, the, what do you call it?
The burner?
The burner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're on there, and it seems to get around on different places from there, yeah. So.
Well, and you're in iTunes. That's a big thing. iTunes is the 300-pound gorilla in the room. You may not use iTunes to get your podcasts, but often iTunes is involved. For instance, if you're using Downcast or Beyond Pod or things like that, in order to get all of those podcasts listed, they just go to the iTunes directory and grab all the feeds from there. Now, they're not taking anything from iTunes. They're just using iTunes as a directory. So a lot of the Android apps actually use iTunes to pull from. So as a podcaster, you want to be in iTunes.
Right. So I do recommend everybody hook up with iTunes. You just need to do that. But, you know, do realize it's not, you know, don't expect it to be your everything that you
exactly.
need.
Exactly. As they say in marketing, you can't manufacture a yes, but you can easily manufacture a no. And if you skip a market, you're manufacturing yourself a no right there.
Exactly. I do also encourage all of you listeners to go to iTunes and give feedback and rate and all that stuff. It does help. It helps your podcaster. It's the way you can pay them back.
Yes, feedback is gold to podcasters. If you can leave reviews, it helps them with ranking in iTunes somehow. I don't understand their algorithm. Nobody understands their algorithm, but it helps in some way. And if you can send them feedback by mailing them, you know, emailing them in, writing on their Facebook page, sending them tweets, whatever, those podcasters are going to be walking on cloud nine every time you say something.
It really is one of the ways we can get our gratification out of doing it. It really is helpful, you know.
Hear back from 10% of your audience.
Yeah, I'm always so excited when I get like a comment every now and then on the Bycast website. But there's not a lot of participation, and I know why.
Yeah.
Because it's just, but when I get one, I'm like, oh, yay.
I would not be surprised, and this is probably quite common for the Bycast. I'm sure there's a lot more people listening than are willing to post publicly.
Exactly.
You know, there's privacy is very important for your community.
Yeah, it is very much important. And that, you know, and that drives everything on, you know, unless if people feel secure on a group or something like that, they do not comment, you know.
Yes.
And I understand it. That's fine. That's great. You know, but when I do get a comment, you know, I'm going like, yay.
Oh, my goodness. They're listening.
I do get really good feedback from people, and it always makes me feel really good, you know, that somebody says that we were able to help them. It is very satisfying.
Well, you're doing really important work. And one of the things that I love about your show is, well, it's the only thing one out there like this that I've found so far. You're doing a service to your community, but also to other communities. You're not just focused on, okay, we're only going to pay attention to the B. You pay attention to all aspects. And, for instance, you had a holiday survival guide episode that I was sharing all over the place and said, look, guys, I don't care what your sexuality is. Listen to this. This can help us, anyone, with any issues having to do with family and holidays and so forth. It was such a helpful episode.
It helped me to do it. It was, you know, and that's part of it too. But yeah, I'm glad it was helpful. I was just like, the holidays are the worst time for everyone, I think. And especially if you're going through hell, you know, and it just,
even if you enjoy the holidays, it's stressful. And, being able to listen to some of those tools, can really help a person out. I mean, for instance, with my husband, he deals with a lot of anxiety between he and his mother are triggers for each other. And they love each other so much, but they can trigger each other's anxiety. And just some of those tools were very helpful to be able to navigate that experience. And I think another big part of the holidays is there's this pressure to have a good time.
Yes.
It's a pressure. There's so much pressure to enjoy yourself and share family love that sometimes it's just too much to take.
It really is. And, you know, and then you get that horrible January letdown syndrome after,
yes.
You know, you've just been on just full force, you know, I'm on. And then you go nothing. And it's just, it's a ripe time for some very self-harming behavior to happen, you know. So,
yep.
Yeah, you just got to give yourself permission to be a human being, I think.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And well, so like I said, that's one of the reasons why I think your podcast is so beneficial. I mean, when you first started podcasting, I heard the message and I said, Lynette is putting out such a good message, but I can't hear it very well. So I contacted you and said, we need to do some stuff to clean up this audio because you've got such a good message and I want to hear it. And so I've been very invested right from the beginning because I think that this is such an important thing that you're doing.
You've been a huge help. I know I've had so much guilt because I had a really important person on like the second show or third show, and it was just an audio disaster.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? That happens. Like most podcasts, the first couple episodes are going to be horrible.
Yeah.
They are. It's just a given. Just think of them as your first pancakes, right?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's like the first season of every show that we know. It's like, oh, God, we'll get through this, you know?
Yes, yes. It's so important. I remember, what was it, last year, I think? I was at Balticon, which is a convention in Maryland, over Memorial Day weekend. It's a literary convention, but it's also a new media convention, so there's a lot of podcast things going on there. And I was talking about podcasting, and I mentioned the Bicast. And there was a very quiet person in the back who raised their hand and said, could you tell me about that podcast again? And I could tell that this was a person who was like, oh, what? There's a podcast out there for me? And,
yeah.
And they were so excited. I was so happy to be able to share that and to see that in somebody's eyes. I mean, you know, when you're a podcaster, you don't normally see people's reaction. So when you go to a convention and you can see people's reaction, it's kind of mind blowing. And it was great to, you know, be the conduit to share this awesome podcast with somebody who was so starved for it.
Yeah, well, you did a great thing by doing that. You are pretty awesome in yourself. You do all kinds of stuff. We know that we do not Nutty Bites, but you host all over the place for us. But you have your own shows,
mm-hmm.
And Nutty Bites is your show, too.
Yes. Nutty Bites, it's a geek-centric podcast. Basically, it has evolved into me debating geeky topics. I'm starting to think of it more like this. It's imagine you're at a convention. It's a panel.
Yeah.
It's a panel, and you get to listen to a panel in your headphones without the air conditioner noises and people coughing. And so I gather different guests and we talk about different topics. The most recent episode that was released is Women in Fiction, which was a fantastic episode. I brought on two different writers, a nonfiction and a fiction writer. And we talked about how publishers have been gendering fiction and how they market to specifically women and specifically men. And, you know, those are girl books and those are boy books and how we think that's bupkis. And that there is no such thing as gender in fiction. We've talked about, you know, crazy things like our favorite Batman or the lamest superpower, favorite apocalypses, time travel, all sorts of things like that. And then we hit some pretty hard-hitting things. Like, for instance, I have a lot of editing to do on this, but I've recently recorded an episode about whitewashing in Hollywood.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. There's a lot of editing because there's a lot of ranting and a lot of swearing, and I don't have swears in my podcast. My podcasts are marked as clean, so no matter what happens, you can play it in the car with your children. And in my very first episode, I explain clean means there's not going to be swearing, and I'm not going to, you know, put anything out there that is going to be too sensitive for children. But I do not think that, you know, sexuality, gender, anything like this is considered explicit, because it's not. It's just people.
It's just people. That's what we are.
So anyone that gets offended that, oh my God, you were talking about gay couples or transgender or something like that, and my child heard, well, yeah, there's gay people, there's bi people, there's transgender people, there's all people in the world. Deal with it. Your kid sees it every day.
Yeah, and if you're not talking about it, what kind of message are you going to give that kid? I mean, he already knows, or they already know it's there.
Yeah, it's, you know. So when we talk about whitewashing in Hollywood, yeah, we're talking about racism. Guess what? That's a topic for the real world. I don't think that's explicit.
You know, and the reason we have so many problems in this world is because we're not talking about things, whether it's, hold on, I can't even think of the word right now. It's not that scary. I just can't think of it. Miscarriage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, or...
It's scary for some, but it's not explicit.
Yeah. You know, if we're up talking about it, it's not a big hidden thing. But when you don't talk about those things, that's where you have the issue. Like, this whole idea we're post-racial is such a farce.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. I don't know where this concept comes from, this idea of, you know, post-racial, post-sexist. You know, it's like, oh, but there is equality. No, there's not. And just because you're not experiencing it doesn't mean it's not happening. And what we're experiencing here in North America, we are so privileged, because that's not how it is all over the world.
That is so true. So true. And I think of your privileges, you know, you've got to recognize what your privilege
you
is.
Have to, yeah, you have to own your privilege. You have to understand, you know, yeah, I'm a woman. I'm a woman. I am fat. I have a couple of things that I deal with discrimination with on every day. But I am white, so I have a lot of white privilege. I am smaller fat, so I have that privilege. I have class privilege. I have education privilege. There are so many things that I have privilege that I have to be able to recognize and understand that I can't speak over marginalized groups. And I can be an ally, but I can't speak for or speak over the people that I am an ally for.
Exactly. You know, and it's just when we talk about intersectionality, it's like your oppression doesn't trump my oppression, you know, and the same thing, you know, you can't say, well, I was poor, you know, growing up. So, you know, I was oppressed too, or just as much. I say, we're getting into racism, but I get really irritated. So that's why. But, you know, when somebody says, here, let me get a moment to get this thought right. So, I was listening to Charles Blow, and he's a writer for the New York Times, and he's also a black man, and he has a black son who is at Harvard. And one night, his son came out and was crossing the lawn and was, you know, pretty much taken off to jail because he looked suspicious on campus. You know, and so Charles Blow says it doesn't matter how much money you have or what educated you are. If you're black, you're a target. You're a target.
Yep.
He says, when a gun's pointed at you, you can't whip out your resume, you know.
And, that's a great line.
That, you know, yeah. And it's, you know, that's what people don't understand it's not about class or education or anything like that. We're talking about being targeted because of the color of your skin. And it doesn't matter who you are. That is going to be the deciding factor of whether you die or not. You know, and I think that people aren't understanding that. And you know, that's what we have to address.
Well, I mean, we have, in America, our president is black. And you can't, if you don't see the racism there, with the way that the media and people talk about him, you're keeping your eyes closed, as far as I'm concerned, because it's there. if you don't see the racism in how his daughters are referred to and spoken about, you are blind and you're ignoring your own privilege there. One of the things that I loved that he said shortly after the Trayvon Martin thing was, if I had a son, he would likely look a lot like Trayvon. And nobody could tell by looking at him that he's the president's son. It doesn't change who I am. And honestly, you know, before he became known, I'm pretty sure nobody cared where he went to school or what he did. You know, as you said, you can't whip out your resume. And, and it's real. It's out there and it's real. And, I say this as a person of privilege. I say this as an ally, not to speak over anyone, but recognizing that there is nothing as post-racial, post-sexist, post-anything. And I think this fits on your podcast because intersectionality is important for all areas of activism. Your community deals with this on every day.
Yeah, you know, we are so intersectional. You know, we have such a very large population of Black and people of color in our community, mm-hmm. and trans people, and, you know, different aspects of the bisexual community, you know, even including, you know, as myself, I'm a demisexual, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm part of that community, or consider myself part of the bisexual community. You know, there's all kinds of intersection that goes on, you know, as, you know, and like,
absolutely.
A lot of it's you know, it's a financial or monetary place we are. A lot of us are very poor. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
There's diversity among classes, among race, among sex, among gender, among orientation. I mean, I think the B, and I like the bi plus idea. That's kind of a neat idea. Addressing, you know, people who are like, but bi means two. No, bi means opposite ends. It yeah. means, which means everything in between.
Exactly. Very good.
If you want to go to the Latin, that's what it means, you know? When they say someone is bipolar, they don't mean they only have two emotions.
Yeah, they mean opposite ends yeah. of a spectrum, which is what we are.
And that's another thing that that the bi plus community deals with a lot of is mental health.
Absolutely. It's one of our biggest problems is our mental health disparities. And, you know, I hear people say that Latin bi means that the Latin term bi means two. And, you know, you have to argue with them about it and they won't buy it.
And most people that argue it don't actually speak Latin or understand Latin. So they're just bringing out the old talking points.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I'm putting anyone down who doesn't understand Latin. I'm horrible with Latin. It's just, you know, many people, you know, you see it all the time. People will whip out these Bible quotes and it's like, you're forgetting half of the quote or you're misquoting that or you're quoting that out of context, but they become these talking points and people will stand by them. You know, they're like an eye for an eye. I'm like, that's not, no.
Yeah. No. You know, and a lot of times, you know, they're taking these quotes out of the King James Bible, which totally messed up the interpretations, because if you go back, I talked to some of my Jewish friends, that sounds very condescending, but, you know, especially one person, you know, she gives the
bit?
Jewish Bible.
Oh, gotcha.
The
Torah.
The Torah, thank you. God, it sounds terrible. The Torah's, you know, interpretation, and it's totally different than what, you know, mm-hmm. we've come up with. And it's, you know, it's refreshing. It's absolutely refreshing because it makes a lot more sense to me.
Well, and that's one of those things. It's there's so many translations of the Bible that you really have to be a biblical scholar to be able to see the differences. When I went to university, I went to a, what do they call it? Education in the Catholic tradition. Because it's not a Catholic school because they accept government money. So we had to take a bunch of religion classes and we had to take a bunch of philosophy classes. But much to many people's surprise, none of my religion instructors, professors were Catholic. I had a rabbi. I had a lay person. I had a Presbyterian or Episcopalian minister, can't remember which. But so I did get a lot of education about, you know, Bible verse and things like that. And what we studied more often was the various translations and how things are different and how interpreting religious texts skews it and how political it can be. And we're doing it today. It's not something that happened a while ago. We're doing that today. Whenever people bring religion into politics, they are interpreting the Bible and they are translating it in a way that suits their needs. Even when I am arguing against them, I know I'm doing the same thing.
Right. Right. Exactly. So let's get off the heavy stuff,
yeah.
I guess.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, it's all worth really saying. I just wanted to say I really love this year, Nutty Bites 81, All Books Are Girl Books.
Yes.
Graphic.
Thank you. I drew that a couple of years ago. It's for the listeners at home. It's a drawing of a red-haired woman on a bed reading a book. But if you pay a little more attention, you will notice that it is a comic book that she is reading, and hanging off in the corner is a Batgirl costume.
Yes, I know. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
So for me, it was me drawing Batgirl reading comics, and this is all before the Ms. Marvel series with Kamala Khan, I think her name is, who is fantastic. She's a young Muslim girl who is a superhero. And I think she's in Jersey, I'm not sure, but she is such a super fan of comics. So, like, every time she meets, like Captain America, she's like, oh, can I have your autograph? So it's all before that, but it's kind of like the same idea. So to me, I was drawing Batgirl reading comics, but I've heard from many other people different interpretations. Like, for instance, like, I love the cosplayer reading books. I'm like, sure.
Okay. You just did a episode with the Epic people. You do that a lot.
Yes, I'm frequently on Epic. Epic is a radio show from Fredericton, New Brunswick. I used to volunteer at the radio station there when I lived there. I've since moved to Ontario. And it's a campus and community radio station, which means that it's a nonprofit. And they do things very similar to Nutty Bites. We talk about geeky topics. And I was invited on the program mostly because we were introduced, and it's like, you know, you two have very similar shows. And the host is like, I would love to get a woman to come on my show because all of our hosts are male and we need women. And so I came on, and then he said, okay, you're going to be a permanent part of the show from now on. So I'm now a permanent host. I am part of the permanent crew, which is great. And that's been going on for, I think, 3 years now. And we just recently did an episode called Right in the Fields. And that's all about those times that you just, oh, it gets you right in the fields. You know, like in Empire when the Ewok's trying to wake up his friend, but he won't wake up.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. There, I have a special place in my heart for the Epic podcast because through them I got my Gold Wave editing. It's like Audacity, but so much easier.
Awesome. Oh, that's so great.
Instead of having to use control this and that, I could do it with my mouse, and it makes my life so much easier.
Yes. Fantastic. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I won it from Mark, yeah. And I think that was Bob that hooked me up with that. He said, here, go do this and see if you can win this. And I did. And it was like, yay.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, and, you know, and I did renew it, but it was affordable. I think it was like $15 to renew for a year.
Nice.
It was good, but I love it. It's made my life so much better. Yeah, I have to say that about Audacity. You do have to work at it a little bit to figure it out if you don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah, and it's easier to do if you have somebody to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. So I would develop that. I'm encouraging everybody out there, especially in my community, to think about committing to doing a podcast about your specific, you know, intersectionality area, like if you're genderqueer or anything like that, or, you know, pansexual, you know, there's plenty of enough,
Material?
There's enough material out there for you. And, you know, because, you know, this podcast can't cover everybody. We try, but
absolutely.
We can cover everybody, but not in the depth that needs to be covered. You know?
Well, and a big suggestion I have for people is if you're hesitant about starting a podcast, start recording segments for your favorite podcasts and send them in. If you send something into your favorite podcast, they'll start to play it. If it's a fan cast, that's very easy. You give feedback on voice feedback on whatever they're talking about. If it's a podcast like this, I'm sure, and I'm speaking for Lynette here, and I shouldn't because she can edit this out if she doesn't like the idea, but I'm sure if somebody recorded a 5-minute segment and sent it into you, you'd play it on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
As a special feature, you know, so many podcasts are open to this. That's actually how I got my start. I used to call myself the podcast ninja because I did a lot of segments for other podcasts. I started way back in 2005, 2006-ish, I was sending in movie reviews because I would get preview tickets, and I would send in movie reviews to Sci-Fi Dig, and I would do book reviews, and then I started hosting the Digger chats and things like that, and there were a couple other podcasts that I would record segments for, and I really enjoyed it, and I had a lot of fun, and eventually, after a lot of hounding and people getting on my case, I started my own podcast. So I understand dragging your feet, but you know, just get your feet wet and send stuff in. I can't think of a podcast outside of the big corporate ones that would be upset or not, or just simply ignore somebody sending them content. We love that.
No, we love it. We love it, you know, and I would love to have people do that. That would be great. You know, do want to remind everybody, if you do go in, it is a bit of a commitment, mm-hmm. but you know, nobody's surprised when you don't make it past the second year.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is the timeline that happens for us. I don't know why.
There's a couple of them. There's the, did you make it to 5 episodes? Did you make it to 10? All right, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
And then there's the 1 or 2 year. And a lot of times it has to do with if you're covering a topic that is ending, that can be really difficult to continue on. And the other thing is people just, they get busy and life gets in the way.
Yeah, very much so, especially if you don't. I am blessed because I'm disabled and I don't have a regular job to go to. I stay plenty busy, though. Really, I do. I have plenty of stuff going on. But as far as time constraints, I don't have to wait till I get home from work to do something. You know, so that helps.
Yeah, you just make me laugh with the I'm blessed for being disabled.
I know. I didn't even think about that. But as far as being able to podcast and do set up, you know, schedules, it helps me.
Well, that's one of the things that people in the disabled community can really do. There used to be a great podcast, by the way, called Disability 411 that a friend of mine, Beth Case, used to run. I wish she'd bring it back, but, you know, she's actually making money in the, you know, and doing a lot of work in her day job for the disability community. But one of the things that's great about podcasting for the disabled community is it doesn't require walking. It doesn't require leaving your house half the time. There's so many things that you can do within the restrictions that you have for the various disabilities. The music director at CHSR is a disabled individual. And so he can't work full time. He can't, you know, he can't hold a regular job, but on the days that he can make it in, he gets himself up those stairs. It's an old building. So he's able to get himself up those stairs and he gets in and he can do the work that he can. And when he can't, he doesn't, you know, and it's great. And I know a bunch of podcasters, I can't go do a day job, but I can turn on a microphone.
Yeah. And you know, for me, it is one of the best outlets for me to be an activist because there are aspects of activism that do require you to be a physical presence. You know, there's events, there's talks, there's things like that. I am not so able to do all of those things like I should be able to, but I could certainly do this and be effective in it. And it's, you know,
and it gives you connection to the world also. I mean, I can only imagine that for many people with disabilities, you end up with a bit of this cabin fever. You know, even if you're an introverted person, you get feeling like you're alone in the world. And podcasting is an outlet for that.
Oh, very, very much true. When I was going through my chemotherapy for those 2 years for hepatitis C, you know, they required a lot of downtime, even more than I have now. And, you know, the podcast community is what really got me through it. you know, it was a real connection there that happened. So, yeah.
I'm so thankful for that, by the way, that podcast can fill that niche there. One of the hosts for one of my podcasts, Beyond the Wall, it's a Game of Thrones podcast. One of our hosts, she has some issues, some disability issues. And for her, a lot of it is neurological. So there have been times that she's had to just say, all right, I'm bowing out halfway through a podcast because she just can't take it anymore. But at the same time, you know, this is also a great outlet for her. And I think also the podcasting community is very accepting of people with disabilities.
Yeah, I've got to say they are. I know that with my, I have some symptoms that I very often can't retrieve words. And so I'm so thankful with the people that are on the show that help me get through those lumps, you know, because I know what I want to say, but I can't find the word that I just had in my head, you know, and it's part of the fibromyalgia, but there's other things involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so nice to have people go, this is what, you know, they'll say the word for me.
Material.
Material. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, it's great. I just totally lost my whole what I was going to say to you next.
I don't know. We've been going for almost an hour now.
Oh, I know what it was. You also, on the Women in Fiction, announced your Nutty Bites Patreon campaign.
Yes, I did. I started a Patreon campaign. It's a bit of a soft launch because I haven't created my video yet, but the soft launch is a success. I have 13 backers, 12 on Patreon, one through PayPal. I think what really helped me, and I think this is a good tip to anyone who wants to use Patreon, is I started it off with a limited time reward offer. And so every year for Lent, I do a piece of art a day. And I call this daily creativity. The idea is, of a daily creativity for me, is anything that takes me less than a day or less to create. So nothing that I've been working weeks on. And for Lent, I do one every single day. And it's very fulfilling for me emotionally and spiritually. And it's become pretty popular over the years. And so my limited time offer is that if you back me for $1 an episode, which is for me $1 a month, because my podcast comes out monthly, although one of my goals is to make the podcast come out twice monthly. So if you back under that, and there were only 20 slots, you will get one of this year's daily creativity pieces. And I think every single person selected that reward level. So if you have a limited time offer reward level, go with that. I think that'll help you get your launch. And the cool thing about Patreon is it's a subscription thing. So people pay as you produce so that, you're not asking people for a lot of money. You're not having to ask them over and over again. Once they start paying, they generally continue to pay. Somebody could come in and give me $1 for a month and then cancel their subscription and go, ha ha ha, I got my reward. But it's very doubtful that people are going to do that. And what I've noticed is, if you're signing up to Patreon and you're pledging people, you're not that kind of person.
No, that's not why you're there. Because, you know, for all rights, you'd be able to find that stuff without paying for it anyway.
Exactly.
You know, that's not why you're doing it.
Yeah, and everything that I've released through Patreon gets released to the public. That's the other thing, is my podcast will never be abridged. It will always, everyone will get it always without paying. You just get, you know, things like you get the episode early, or I ask you questions on what you'd like to see next. Things like that.
Yeah. So we've been on for an hour, so we should get off because that is kind of the thing.
The cut-off.
But before we do, I want to talk about your body positive work that you do, which I am thankful for.
So I am pretty involved in fat acceptance and fat activism. I am a fat woman. I have been fat my entire life. or at least most of it. There was a brief moment that I got smaller, but I think I was still fat then. And I have learned to embrace it and to love it and to stop the dangerous habit of yo-yo dieting and to listen to my body and to learn to love it. It doesn't matter what, you know, what your behaviors are. Everyone deserves respect. Everyone deserves love. And you should not be discriminated on by, or you should not be discriminated because of your size. It's kind of a silly thing to discriminate against. But then again, aren't all discrimination silly reasons?
Pretty much, yeah. So we appreciate you, and you take that and you give a lot of support to other people and help them.
And I create a lot of art, fat acceptance and body positive art. I call the series Love Your Body. That's my name for the series. And it's a lot of paintings of mostly women, but there have been men. It's harder to find images of men to work from, actually. They seem to be a smaller voice in the fat acceptance community, unfortunately. But I do a lot of paintings and drawings of people of larger bodies, and I've always been painting large bodies because when I was in art school, the models were larger because they're easier to draw and paint. And I never realized, like, why did I always like that? Oh, because it represents me. And they've been very popular. I've actually sold quite a few pieces and prints because people are inspired by them. And it's amazing. I've seen some real change from people who were very down on their own bodies and watching them learn to love themselves through my art. And it blows me away. I mean, I know it's not all because of me. I just kind of opened their eyes to a new idea, and then they found it on their own, but it's baffling. Like, it's mind-blowing for me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I just need that different perspective, and it just, that's it. It works for me a lot. I certainly did when I, you know, finally accepted my bisexuality, so I get it. I really get it. I also love Fat Little Mermaid. She is adorable.
Oh, isn't she cute?
She is so cute.
Yes, I've recently done a painting of the Little Mermaid, but made her nice and chubby. And I'm going to be doing, here's a sneak peek, I'm going to be doing Tiana from the Frog Princess, Princess Frog, whichever the name of that Disney movie was. But I'm actually using a cosplayer, Bree Chibi. She's a cosplayer that is famous for her Tiana cosplay. And I'll be painting her.
Awesome.
So.
That's fantastic. I am looking forward to seeing that. I love drawings. I love Rory, by the way, and his little Spider-Man outfit.
Yes.
He's adorable.
Rory's a dragon, by the way. He's my mascot, and I've done all of the Avengers for him so far. I've done Loki, I've done Daredevil, and now I've done Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Roar.
We love him, Spider-Roar. All right, and you know I love you, Nutty. We'll get you off here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for making your podcast. I'm so glad you're still doing this.
Well, thank you for just being my friend and saving my podcast bacon, like I said, several times. I love you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, I got to close out my
little
thing. I just want to remind everybody, you're not wrong, you're not broken, you're definitely not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Bye, Nettie.
Bye.
Transcription services provided by Bynes Transcript and Typing Services. Just say it, and we'll type it. As leaders in the transcription industry, it's their vision to help business owners reach their project goals for their organization or company by transcribing or providing general office support. They're transcribing what I'm saying right now. Their staff is readily available to assist. Order now and get up to 20% off of your first assignment. Regularly 99 cents a minute, celebrating 11 years in business. And thank you, Fran Bynes, for your volunteer activism. Find them at www.binestranscriptions.com.
The views expressed on the Bycast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bycast crew.
Loop it back.